Standing in the center of his sitting room, Mark Richmond went through a mental checklist. Bills paid, boiler turned off, newspapers canceled, electric devices unplugged. It was a stroke of luck that he'd pre-booked this early spring break because, one way and another, he'd had about as much as he could take. When he came back, he promised himself, he'd put the house on the market. Like a host of other things, it was now part of his past. He'd abandon it, he told himself firmly, with as little regret as a snake shedding its skin. His eyes moved broodingly around the pleasant room with its host of memories, good and bad, and came to rest on the bookcase and the studio portrait on top of it. On impulse, he walked over, and ignoring the photos, skimmed along the row of titles before deciding, after all, not to remove any. He'd read those that interested him and had no wish to add weight to his modest luggage. Luckily, he'd done a lot of backpacking in his youth and was adept at traveling light. Despite himself, his eyes lifted to the lovely face in its frame. Nor would he be taking her with him, he thought with suppressed venom. And picking up the photo, replaced it with a satisfying thump, face down. Time to be going. Wheeling his case out of the front door, he stowed it in the boot of his car and set off for the station. An auspicious opening for today's book, Sins of the Fathers, by Antia Fraser. A taut, moving story of love, loss, hate, and redemption, says Booklist. And what a delightful and off-kilter opening we end up having. A young professional from the London art world, the aforementioned Mark Richmond, is on his way to a much-anticipated walking holiday to the countryside of northern England, getting away from the house he no longer wants, a wife he wants to forget, when he is shanghaied by a young woman at a London train station. After a brief interchange between the bewildered young man and the obviously determined young woman named Helena Crawford, Mark learns that he is to play the role of boyfriend at a big winter family gathering in Scotland. And reasoning that he has a two-week vacation booked from work, he agrees to assume the role of family spoiler. And we are off, so to say, to the races. The family gathering that mid-February and cold Scotland is ostensibly to celebrate the ruby, or the 40th anniversary, of the young woman's parents. But of course, so much more is going on with the family dynamics. Not the least that the family gathering has always before happened in Scotland's seaside summers. The mansion Mark finds himself visiting is darn cold and damp in the middle of February. So what does Mark find in his diversion from a holiday in the rural lands around York? Well, we alternate between the now, when he leaves on that ill-fated trip to northern England, and then, 6 months previously, as our characters and their backstories slowly come into focus. As the pages turn, our author drops in just enough tantalizing plot twists and surprises to keep us riveted and turning those pages. This is one family saga that is not so much blatantly scandalous as it is full of family surprises. It's headlined by the death of Mark's wife's father, Peter, a death that opens a cornucopia of concerns and regrets from his father-in-law's best friend, their wives and children, as we wade through spousal infidelity, brought about as much by boredom as by sudden offers of attention, and the ongoing family dynamics that Mark finds himself immersed into on that seaside town in Scotland, the other story in this novel. There is a lot going on. And about that slow evolution of the odd, never quite clear pairing of Helena and Mark at that family gathering in Scotland, what is this trip to wintry Scotland all about for each of them? And how does it connect back to that time 6 months ago when we find Mark and his now estranged wife visiting with her parents? Well, we know early on that at first, Mark is bemused. He's off to a North England vacation to sort out the disintegration of his immediate family, a sad state of affairs that Mark, in retrospect, notes started during that sunny English summer of 6 months ago. And that mysterious young woman, Helena, who all but abducts Mark at the train station, she is determined to show her family that while her younger sister is soon to be married, she, Helena, has a love life of no two, even if this sisterly competition sluices over into an outright lie about Helena's supposed relationship with Mark, for Pete's sake. In many ways, so many ways perhaps, Sins of the Fathers is the type of light romance that would find a ready audience for repeated viewings on the Hallmark Channel or Lifetime, or if the sex and relationship duplicity were toned down a bit, maybe even the Disney Channel. It's light, it's fluffy, it's fun, until it isn't. As another reviewer has written, quote, "While Sins of the Fathers may lack some of the plot twists and hype of the psychological thriller, it is a quietly good read. And there are a few little surprises in the plot. Don't expect much to happen in the first half. The author is letting us get to know the characters and setting the scene. If this sounds boring, it's not. As I said previously, the characters are an interesting bunch, and I liked that everything wasn't tied up all nice and neat at the end." I'll add that at a time when Great Britain continually pops into our consciousness because of Brexit, because of the royals, family roilings, this is a look at a Great Britain that many Brits and many of us Yanks as well want to see Great Britain as a stolid middle-class nation immersed in middle-class dilemmas and well-meaning if flawed individuals trying to navigate the modern world with ever so British language. And while that may sound and perhaps is a mild criticism of the book, it is also a reminder that in our own day-to-day lives, we need some escape as well. Sins of Our Fathers provides it, in spades. Let's finish by reading further from the buildup at that very beginning of our story. The table continues to be set, as the other reviewer noted. Much more excitement is to come a bit later in our story, but there's enough just in these early pages to keep you reading, to keep you turning, and those pages to learn what in the heck is going on. As you may recall, to reset our scene here briefly, Helena has kidnapped, all but kidnapped, shanghaied perhaps is a better term, Mark, who was on his way up north to kind of get away from a life that is disintegrating around him. Helena has her own plans. She had actually intended to meet up with a date that had been arranged through the internet. He was running late. She managed to mistake Mark for her blind date. And here we are, still on the train, chugging northward into Scotland. These two really different characters are trying to suss each other out. As the journey progressed, they exchanged as much information as she considered necessary for the role to be played. "You'll be interested to hear we've had a whirlwind romance," she ended with a smile. "I told the family we've only known each other about 6 weeks and purposely avoided going into details. I had to give you a name, though, so I chose Adam Ryder. Apart from that, you're free to just be yourself," she added with a satisfaction Mark didn't share. She turned to him suddenly as a thought struck her. "Oh, my gosh, I haven't asked if you're married. I sort of assumed since you're on your own." Her voice trailed off uncertainly. "In a matter of speaking, I am," he replied. She frowned. "What does that mean?" "My wife's not around at the moment." "Children?" "A 4-year-old daughter." His heart twisted at the thought of Florence. "Also not around?" "Correct." She offered a lopsided smile. "With that baggage, I doubt if you'd qualify for Benton's." "I'll bear that in mind when I'm job hunting." She raised an eyebrow. "Are you job hunting?"
"Not actively."
She gave an exclamation of impatience. "Not very forthcoming, are you?" She didn't know the half of it.
"No reason why I should be."
"True," she conceded after a moment, and asked no further questions. Well, the story continues. Our pair managed to make it to cold Scotland in middle February on the seaside. And meanwhile, we get these odd stories from Mark about 6 months ago, when his own family was beginning to fall apart. Somehow, you'll have to read the novel, all of these people come together, and somehow our story ends in a crescendo that you gotta read to believe. Antia Fraser, Sins of the Fathers. It's available at all of our fine local libraries, including the West Lafayette Public Library.